they knew that brain tech was big, and everyone knows it's like budding and cool. And we are one of the first ones to really come out and have a very successful idea. So I think that in itself, creating something very exciting and new was our benefit.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am so excited to be in one of my favorite countries ever, Canada. I am sitting in Toronto right now with Sanj, and I'm so, so stoked to be celebrating everything that she does in the tech industry. So go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and then tell us a little bit about what you do.
Cool. Yeah, I'm Sanj. I live in Toronto. And I work at a company called Mindset, which do over-the-ear headphones with the EEG technology that help improve your focus.
And how do you even get involved in that?
Well, I work with really awesome team of only guys really right now.
Right.
And they're super fun and very, very young. And they reach out to me and through a system called AngelList. And it was a perfect match.
And that's interesting. First of all, I want to talk about AngelList some more because that is a huge resource in the tech industry.
Totally.
And what is your involvement in Mindset?
So I am involved with basically all business and marketing. So I run that whole sector right now.
When did you first, and again, we'll get back into AngelList in a second, but when did you first fall in love with technology?
I guess when I interned at Microsoft. I did when I was about 20 years old and being around all that cool tech. And I was like, wow, like this is sweet and Xbox is cool. And just like, you know, being around things that are moving very fast is very exciting.
And how did you parlay, you know, playing your Xbox into working in the tech industry professionally? Like, when did you notice those transitions start to happen?
I think it was really something I never really considered. I mean, when you're, you know, in university, you try to think of like really practical careers. Like, I want to be a lawyer or I want to be this or that. And then you're like, oh, cool. I can make a cool career working on stuff that I actually like. So being there, I was like, wow, Xbox is sweet and I'm sweet. So it makes sense.
That's the cutest answer ever. And okay, where were you when you got the message via AngelList about Mindset?
I was actually in Montreal. I went on a month-long snowboarding trip.
What? That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the guys had messaged me, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm in Montreal, you're from Montreal, like, let's make this happen.
And the company's based in Toronto or in Montreal?
Actually, they're based out of Montreal, but half the year we spent time in China because our manufacturing is all there.
Wow. And had you ever been to China before?
No.
So was that scary?
Not scary, but it was definitely relearning everything I knew about how to function, what cultural norms were, and how to do business.
And was that part of the job? Like, hey, if you take this position, you have to spend half your time in China?
Well, they said that it was a possibility.
Right.
And right now, everyone's everywhere. So we might be in San Francisco come January. Like, things are moving very fast.
It's like super exciting. Okay, let's get into Angelus because this is kind of what sparked it all. How did you discover it? First of all, what is Angelus?
Angelus is basically the LinkedIn for startups. So it's a way to connect with people that are budding entrepreneurs or have started established companies that are looking for people that are willing to wear multiple hats.
Right. And had you recently signed on to Angelus or had your profile been there for a long time?
No, I'd been on for a few years, but wasn't really looking for anything full time until the opportunity just before Mindset started. Switched it to full time, started applying for stuff. And just like found it really useful and kind of was able to meet really cool people.
Were you able, like, do you have to pay to say, hey, I'm looking for a job? Does that cost anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I never did.
So anybody listening right now, if they're looking for a job in the tech world around the world, can go to Angelus, and it's angelus.com or is it angelnow.com or angelus.ca? Google Angelus.
Yeah.
you guys will include it in the show notes too, but can go to Angelus, post what they're looking for, their resume. And then employers around the world in the tech space can see that you're looking for a job and get hired that way, right?
Totally. And they have opportunities too that are like fully remote. So if you're one of those people that have that kind of like lust to live around the world, like it's a good opportunity.
Totally.
Yeah.
And what are some of the other resources in the tech industry that you access relatively regularly or maybe blogs that you read that really help support you in your career?
I'm an extrovert. So for me, like as much as online blogs and stuff help, I'd rather find these people through whatever tools, LinkedIn,
yeah,
through reading articles, and then connect with them,
yeah,
personally.
Yeah.
Like I think that there's a lot of value when you kind of be brave,
yeah,
and sit down with people and talk to people and tell them that you appreciate the work they're doing and
totally
hope to understand more about it.
100%. It's so funny. So do you know the Haste and Hustle conference here?
Yeah.
It's in the area of Niagara, and now they have Generation Now, which is a student conference in Toronto. And the way I met the founder of the Haste and Hustle conference was she liked one of my tweets.
Oh, so cool.
And I happened to like, look, what's Haste and Hustle? That sounds cool. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And I reached out actually not knowing it was a woman in tech. I just thought it was cool. And I was like, oh, I really like your stuff. And she wrote back and she's like, happy to support you. Jumped on a call with me from, I was in Los Angeles and she's, you know, here and so supportive. And I ended up meeting her in real life for the first time yesterday and interviewed her on the show.
It's
just like, that's the power of connectivity where you can take digital and move it completely offline and create a meaningful relationship.
And I think that's what the whole point of digital is that people often forget. It's not about like trading things online.
Yeah.
It's about creating really long lasting and like influential connections.
Completely. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought just now. Who is the target audience for Mindset?
Right now, since we're just off Kickstarter, we're obviously appealing to the Uber tech crowd.
Right.
But for the future, anybody that has trouble focusing, which I think is majority of the population
so
right now.
So my ADD is like,
yeah,
follows me around.
Totally. And it's like, everyone just wants to achieve. And what Mindset does is it allows you the tools to kind of refocus.
Yeah.
I mean, we're surrounded by technology and that's a benefit and also a curse.
Can you walk me through the process? I use Headspace to meditate pretty regularly. Like, where does Mindset fit into my life?
Sure. So Mindset is more of a productivity tool. So unlike some people that have created EEG for sleep or for meditation,
right,
Mindset is about your workday.
Right.
So what it is a pair of headphones that has EEG sensors.
What? That's so cool already. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, Bluetooth and has great audio.
Yeah.
Our audio is by Onkyo. So it's made by like this one of the leading industries in tech, sound tech. And what they do is they track your concentration throughout the day and they notice when you're focused and when you're unfocused. And as soon as you're unfocused, they give you a subtle auditory cue, like a ding.
No way.
Yeah. And your brain goes, oh, I'm unfocused. I should focus. And the more that you wear them, the more that happens. And over time, your brain starts to slowly fix that unfocused.
And how big are the headphones? Are they like Beats where it's like huge, or like even the ones you wrap around your ear, or are they like my Bose like I'm wearing right now?
It's definitely more of like a over here, like full headphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to wear them when you're at the office or something. And
or yeah, you can even like wear them during the day. Like the way we've built the sensors is that they're not uncomfortable. So it's like you can just wear it on the subway. You can wear it literally wherever.
That's so cool. And how much do they cost?
They're right now we're on Kickstarter or early bird price.
Yeah.
So they're $279, but after retail, will be $350.
That's so exciting. And tell us, why did you choose Kickstarter versus Indiegogo, and how is the Kickstarter campaign going? I know I wrote a whole article actually on crowdfunding, and I know it's really hard. It's like this super sexy industry, like crowdfunding, yay. But it's actually, especially for hardware, really hard. So
yeah, I mean, we were really lucky in that our idea really made sense to people. So we were lucky to raise over $1 million.
Crazy.
But
before the Kickstarter.
On Kickstarter. Just so, on Kickstarter, we were at 1.1 million and now we're closer to 1.25.
I mean, okay. Can walk us through. That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I, by the way, I own the coolest cooler. So you know about the coolest cooler,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I actually received mine. So I get like the kind of controversy that comes with hardware being sold on Kickstarter and, like, one, how did you know how to, and I'm sure maybe you didn't work with this part of it directly, but how did you know how to price it outright so you didn't run into that challenge that a lot of Kickstarter campaigns run into where, like, cool is cooler, they price too low, and by the time they have to manufacture it, they're, like, screwed.
Right.
Do you know anything about that side of the company?
So we're lucky to be partnered with basically an accelerator called Hacks. And they
in Toronto or in Montreal?
So they're based out of... Well, they're associated with SOSV, which is, but Hacks is based mainly out of China from what I'm aware of.
Okay.
That's where we worked out of when we were there.
Right.
And they are strictly hardware.
Amazing.
So they knew. They kind of like were able to provide us a little
Amazing.
Bit of insight into like, okay, these are generally your costs.
Yeah.
Know that and priced around that rather than us being like, you know, too liberal one way or the other.
Yeah. How do you spell Hacks?
H-A-X.
Okay, so you guys will include it in the show notes because the accelerator, describe to us what an accelerator is.
It's basically a program that gives you a bit of funding and allows you to grow rapidly. They give you the right investors, they give you the right mentors, they help really give you the right tools in order for you to move fast and succeed fast.
Totally. Oh my, your story's so exciting. Okay. And then how did you prepare? Usually, again, with a crowdfunding, and I don't know if you guys did this, you have to create a PR strategy in alignment with the crowdfunding campaign. Did you guys do that, or how did you get to a million plus?
I mean, there's a lot of things. So I started just as the campaign started. So I'm pretty fresh.
Yeah.
But the guys were really, really good in knowing what their product was capable of.
Right.
And I think that's the thing. Like, if you don't believe it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so what they did was they went around to a lot of PR tours. So they went to New York. They went to, like, all the places where the people that are writing these articles live.
Right.
We were lucky enough to be, like, covered in Mashable.
Amazing.
And, like, just, like, the Verge and, like, big publications that gave us credibility in order for us to not seem like another Kickstarter.
Right.
So when we were ready, we priced our stuff out properly. It was a lot about hitting milestones. So our stretch goals were very strategic and thinking about, okay, what do people really want? Listening to the comments and not releasing a stretch goal until we were confident that's what people wanted to know about.
Right.
And then as we did that, just like, yeah, kept going, kept building, running our ads properly, just like making sure we knew who our target was and hitting them hard.
That's amazing.
And now we're sitting on Indiegogo too for a little while we're taking pre-sales there and then now on our own website.
That's a thing I noticed, and I'd love for you to just kind of hit on that in order to educate everybody. I noticed that a lot of people do Kickstarter first kind of as their beta launch, and then once they've had a successful Kickstarter, then they continue to pre-sell via Indiegogo kind of but at a bit of a higher price. Is it the same or?
Ours is actually the same price. But the reason that we went on Indiegogo is because, you know, we started off not having a ton of, you know, investment. Like, you're a hardware startup. It's hard enough already.
Right.
And then once we got our influx, we're like, okay, great. Now we can build our own website. We can take the time we need to really foster something that looks sharp on our own internal platform.
Right.
So in the meantime, we were like, cool, Kickstarter's done.
Right.
We don't have our own website yet. Let's go to Indiegogo.
Yeah.
And Indiegogo's a great tool. There's a whole different crowd than Kickstarter. And people are willing to listen. And especially Indiegogo On Demand, I think, is a really great asset.
And explain to us, what is Indiegogo On Demand different? How is that different than just Indiegogo?
So Indiegogo is similar to Kickstarter. From what I understand, it's a limited time.
Right.
So you can only run it for 2 months.
Right.
Where Indiegogo On Demand allows you to run continuously. So people can either, you know, buy on our website now or buy on our Indiegogo, depending on what they find is more credible, because we're working on that. We're a startup.
Yeah. And you talked about how the founders traveled to different areas where press lived. Mm-hmm. Did you notice, and I know you came in once the campaign like just ignited, but did you notice in reviewing the different press that went out or the pitches, was there a commonality or a way that they pitched that set them apart from everybody else? Because it's hard to get press. I'm a journalist, and to be really frank, I don't look at any press release ever. I find them extremely insincere. And if you don't care about me, I don't care about you.
I mean, we didn't really go for the press release route. We went for the, let's sit down and show you what we have. So we created like a really simple prototype to be able to show people what our technology really did.
Right.
And by, and there's proof and concept.
Right.
So people obviously like wanted to see what our final thing would be like, but they knew that brain tech was big, and everyone knows it's like budding and cool. And we are one of the first ones to really come out and have a very successful idea. So I think that in itself, creating something very exciting and new was our benefit.
That's so cool. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. And not many consumers have the product yet, right?
No, we haven't shipped yet.
But you have had people use it, even be it the founders.
So we have a prototype right now. We're also using our technology in Montreal. They're doing tests, like live tests right now.
I'm going to be in on, like, can I test it? I'm going to be in Montreal. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a way that we're collecting data in order to improve the way that our concentration works. So when they're reading human brains, you need to, you know, there's variables.
Right.
Your brain functions differently than my brain.
Yeah.
So how do we collect that data properly and create an algorithm that's smart enough to know the differences between your brain and my brain?
It's incredible. I have to tell you that after having this discussion, I completely want to get one. I'm excited. Yeah. I mean, I'm all about, I have a productivity blog. So like, I'm all about productivity. And I think, especially in this day and age when we have so much connectivity online, and there was this one day, it's a really simple concept, but I was like this magical moment for me. I was like, oh, I can't read the whole internet. And then so I stopped feeling anxious about reading absolutely everything, because it just occurred to me it's not possible.
It's funny.
And but with that much connectivity and that much information overload, I feel like we need more things like mindset, like headspace, in order to decompress, in order to just like quiet down. Mm-hmm. It's too much friction going on, and it's hard to focus.
Totally. And it's like, we're in this like whole idea where like open concept workplaces are great, and like talking to people is great, but sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And so what Mindset is really successful at is like giving you the right work environment.
Right.
Whether it's like giving you automatic noise cancellation when it notices you're distracted.
Yeah.
Or giving you cues. You need to take a break. You need to, you know, start focusing.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these things that you kind of need parenting for, because we've unlearned.
Totally. So Mindset even tells you it's time to take a break?
Yeah. So as we wear it more, the smarter Mindset gets about you.
Yeah.
So what it does is it starts to understand patterns, what time of day you work best, for how long you work best, where, like, you know, if you're getting distracted, like turn on noise cancellation. Is that the answer?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that distract us, and there's a lot of things that make us focus.
Yeah.
So it's about learning about your brain.
And how about those of us that like to listen to music while we work?
Totally. We have, like, you can listen to any audio that you want to.
Yeah.
There's also going to be binaural beats, white noise.
Yeah.
Like, we even could implement some nature sounds if you really wanted it.
Interesting. So cool. So before we wrap up the conversation, well, one, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can message me on, I guess, anywhere on our social channels because I'm running those right now.
Cool.
Is it
at Mindset?
Yeah, at Think Mindset.
At Think Mindset, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, if you want to shoot me an email, I'm sure we can get in connection.
Oh, and can you tell everybody your email?
Sanj, S-A-N-J, at thinkmindset.com.
So you work with an all-women incubator here in Toronto.
Yeah, because our...
What's it called?
Shecosystem.
Okay.
Because we're all around the world, it can be tough to work from home all the time. So I joined this really, really incredibly, beautifully awesome incubator.
Yeah.
It's a co-working space called Shecosystem.
Yeah.
And what it is it's a place that prioritizes women. Women that are starting their own companies, women entrepreneurs, women like me that are... Yeah. Part of companies that are working on their own. It's just a space to give community and create community and, you know, women help women. I mean, clearly.
When was it created?
I think it's almost a year old.
Yeah.
And so it's, this really beautiful space that incorporates wellness. We have like, you know, Wednesdays we had smoothie days where we get to know each other.
This is so cool.
Yeah.
At some point, I would love to come in and feature all of them on the podcast.
I mean, there's a lot of us.
That's
a good thing.
Yeah. Let's just make a whole like retreat of it. Podcast retreat. It's like going to Toronto just for Shecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, it's an incredible place. It's unlike any place I've ever worked.
And what inspired the founder to create it? Do you know?
I feel like a lot of people in, you know, just women in tech were surrounded by men. Like, I'm in hardware.
Yeah.
I was in China. Like, 95% of people at the office were men.
Right.
And so, as great as that is, it can be a little bit draining.
Right.
And so, she wanted to give a space where people felt safe.
Yeah.
People were willing to collaborate with each other. People were willing to put their health and sanity and, you know, mental health.
Yeah.
Like, along with work.
Totally.
So it's like, you want to do yoga at lunch? Do yoga at lunch. Like, there's a yoga room. You want Reiki done? You want your tarot read? Like, do it. There's people doing it.
What? I cannot wait to come back and go to the space. I feel like there's I think we were talking about earlier in our conversation, a female founder for the Haste and Hustle conference.
Right.
And I feel like that would be an amazing connection with Shecosystem.
Totally.
I mean, just all the innovation of all the powerful women in tech living in Toronto. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of women doing really awesome stuff here.
So spell it out for everybody so they could check it out.
Shecosystem. Like ecosystem, but Shecosystem.
I love it. Yay, you guys, check out Shecosystem. And I know that I want to. Right now, we are at Workplace One. It's called Workplace One, right? Am I saying it right? Yeah. And there's such a great tech community here in Toronto, and I can't wait to explore it more. What would you say is one way that you overcome challenges?
I mean, I'm in a startup, so every day is a challenge.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, putting everything into perspective.
Right.
It's about taking bit by bit and getting over it.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the mountain, which is like, how do I sell X amount of headphones by the end of the year, you go, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But by chipping away slowly with, you know, A/B testing and, you know, trying to get to know your audience a little bit more, that's the only way you can achieve any goal. Just take it slowly.
And what's one suggestion you have? You talked a lot about milestones in creating the crowdfunding campaign. What is a kind of suggestion you could give everybody about how to create great milestones and also how to create great rewards? I know having rewards is a huge part of any successful crowdfunding campaign, and rewards need to be experiential, something that people actually want, or else it's not going to work. So what kind of... How can you kind of trigger someone's creativity to think of it in the right way?
I think the biggest thing is that when you're on Kickstarter, people are vocal. People are invested. They're excited. They're, you know, blown away by your brains for creating this product. And so the biggest thing and the biggest thing that we did is listen. I mean, a lot of people go on Kickstarter. They have their ideas. They bulldoze through it. They get their money. They get out.
Yeah.
But it's about nurturing that crowd.
Yeah.
They're invested in you.
Yeah.
It's like your parents.
Yeah.
So like, listen to them. Let's talk to them. Ask them what they want. Ask them how they feel. Like, they want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing we always try to do. We showed pictures of us in China eating crazy fruit, or, you know, just like being people and like understanding that like that's the beauty of Kickstarter, is that you're removing, you know, the Walmarts of the world, and you're making it a person-to-person interaction.
I love that. And, you know, I think that's great advice, not just for Kickstarter, but tech companies in general. It's not about the metrics. It's about the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like, that's all we have.
Yeah.
That's all the point of this.
100%. Before we sign out, so I have you heard of the Compass bracelets?
Mm-mm.
So this is by a female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. She handmade this. It's cork imported from Portugal. This is 2110, 2110. So the way it works is we want to use them to connect women in tech around the world in a very physical way. So the listeners can follow 2110, and then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who inspires you. Now, you share your story on shareyourcompass.com of how you received it. That person shares their story of how they received it. They give it to another woman in tech within 2 weeks, how they received it, and you could follow the bracelet as it goes to women in tech around the world, and you can connect with everyone. It's cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have someone in mind you're going to give it to?
I actually, when we were in China, I dealt with a bunch of women that were starting their own companies and were just kick ass.
Yay!
So I'll probably mail it to one of them.
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love that. Way to go, Compass, making it to China. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Sun, for spending your time with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been awesome. You guys, if you want to connect with more incredible women in tech, go to the Women in Tech Facebook group at womenintechvip.com. It takes you straight to the Facebook group, womenintechvip.com. I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys, say hello at Women in Tech Show on all the socials in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring.
We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like so dope.
This, I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so
but
dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligned.
Yeah. Clearly and the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia
I mean,
as a family. Because we do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.